Your Bible's the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Excuse me. I want to begin reading in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I'm just going to stop right there. Every now and then, you'll get into these discussions, different places. And I told y'all last week about one I got in at work that I should have avoided. Come on in. And I ended up in between, metaphorically speaking, I ended up between a Jew and a Greek, between a religious person and between a person who was not religious. And I'm giving two different arguments going two different ways at the same time. And that kind of gets confusing after a while, and I escaped as quickly as I could. But I did get to thinking about this after I talked a little bit about it here, because no matter which way they are, religious or irreligious, God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. Yeah. Whatever God thinks, whatever it is, it's not what man thinks. Whatever comes from the mind of God is good. And whatever comes from the mind of man is bad. Yeah. And it is that simple. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of complexities to go on from there, but it does start out that simple. God's ways are not man's ways. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? He shall. Whatever man does out of man is not right. As he goes on, what God does is forever. What man does is temporary. But I got to thinking about this, and to come up with it, it's nothing deep or whatever, but this, that our thoughts are the opposite. Man's thoughts are the opposite of God's thoughts. Because whatever man thinks of, whatever comes out from the imagination, from which the word image comes from, or comes from the word image, it is not only opposite to what God thinks, it is in direct opposition to God's thoughts. Right. As we read Romans 8 and verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Yeah. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Right. The carnal mind is the fleshly mind, or it is the mind of what is called in 1 Corinthians the natural man. This is the mind with which we are all born. Man as he is naturally born. The carnal mind hates God. That's what enmity means. It's hatred against God. The carnal mind hates God, and I'll tell you this, it hates the thoughts of God. The carnal mind hates the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it is revealed in the Scriptures. The natural man, 1 Corinthians does state, does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. That's because he's got a carnal mind. He doesn't understand. And understanding is in the mind. Now, you'll read in the Scriptures where they talk about in the heart. But in the Old Testament times, they thought the heart was the seat of thinking, which, unless doctors are wrong now, we believe is in the brain, it's in the mind. Then they also used to go into the bowels of compassion, and that's where the emotional seat was thought to be. And nowadays we use the form the heart for the emotional thing and the mind, the brain, for thoughts. Excuse me. But understanding is in the mind, because that's where we have thoughts. Now, the Spirit of God made me aware of some of my thoughts after I was regenerated. I used to think some weird stuff, okay? Because pretty much I fell into the category of the Greek, the irreligious. I did go to the Catholic Church. I was a good Catholic, is what I used to tell people. I did whatever I want during the week, and I went to church on Sunday. And that's what I was taught, basically, you had to do. And I did pretty much do whatever I wanted during the week, and I went to church either on Saturday or Sunday. As long as you got the little wafer once a week, my mom was happy, okay? And she left me alone. And that was my whole goal in religion right there, was just, okay, it's easier to do this than to take, you know, the disappointment from my mother. Let's just put it, she didn't really nag real bad or anything like that. But you could tell. I could tell. And see, aren't you supposed to honor your father and mother? So I thought I was doing a good thing. But anyway, I did used to think weird things. I had a thought in my head, and this is before conversion, that basically, when it's summed up, I thought the good guys always won in the end, as far as life is concerned. Okay? I might not see the end, but I always thought the good guys would end. You might not see the end, but I always thought in the end, good would prevail over evil. That was about the extent of my theological doctrine at that time. And actually, that's kind of true. However, after the Spirit of God came to me, I actually did have to change my whole concept of the good guys. Because I used to think it was people, you know, I thought I was a good guy. I didn't go out of my way to hurt anybody, okay? Unless they really deserved it. Well, you know. But that was rare, okay? I didn't have anything against hurting people who deserved it, especially if I didn't have to go out of my way to do it. But I tried to be good to my friends. I tried to be good to my family, at least the ones that I liked. And, you know. But after regeneration, my thoughts changed. What I thought went through almost just like a 180 degree turn. I kind of found out, you know, Walter, like we talked, I found out the Ten Commandments were not the Ten Suggestions. I found out what I thought was good wasn't good at all. And I found out what I thought was foolishness was the truth of God. Because I used to think it was really pretty foolish to be spending that much time worrying about preachers and church or priests and paying that kind of attention to anything religious. I thought it was sort of, you know, crazy to be that concerned. I mean, it's nice to know about it, but to be that concerned with someone who died 2,000 years ago, I thought that was a little iffy, you know, bordering on fanaticism. Okay, so then I turned into a fanatic. And I like it. And here I am. Why? Because I found out my thoughts were wrong. Now, not only are my thoughts, were my thoughts wrong, man's ways are the opposite of God's ways. Jesus tells a story about a sinner at the back of a building, keeping his head down, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Man states to come front, come to the front and pray this prayer, and you'll be okay. I've been there when they did that. They'd say, come up to the altar. Of course, Walter's the one that pointed out to me. He says, the altar up there is a hump in the floor. That's what it was. It was just, you know, it was just a little dais. That's all it was. You come up there and you pray. Christ said that fella at the back was justified.
Yeah, that's what he said.
I never came to the front. Mm-hmm. Man states, oh, Jesus Christ states that man will not and cannot come to God or to him. Man states that if you take the first step, God will meet you there. And I do like what Henry Mahan said about that. He said, if I can take the first step, I don't need you. Because the first step is to come out of the grave. Dead men don't walk. Man's ways concern man. Man's ways consider God's ways secondary. You make the first step, God will meet you there. You have faith. Everyone has faith. Just exercise it a little bit. I never knew what that meant. Because it never made any sense to me. Now, how can you have faith and not believe? It doesn't work. How can you have faith and not already believe? Anyway, but that's neither here nor there, because that's man's ways. Man's ways change. God's ways never change. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you want to know how they say man's ways change, or I say man's ways change, see if you can find a Baptist preacher trying to explain dispensations. Because trust me, it will be an education. A bad education, but because they will teach and they'll preach that all throughout the different eras in this Bible, men were saved in different ways. That's what they'll teach. I've heard that too. And actually, I heard a little bit in that discussion I had at work. because the one fellow who was religious was Church of Christ. And so he come up immediately with, you must believe and you must be baptized, which is a Church of Christ tenet. And he quoted, was it Mark? You know, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, which is true.
Right, it's true.
He that believeth not shall be damned, which is true. And I told him, I said, yes, but he did not say, he that is baptized not shall be damned.
Right.
And that would have been the perfect place to say it. And he goes from there, well, and I told him, I said, the thief on the cross wasn't baptized. Well, that was another dispensation. No, that man was with Christ in paradise that day. That man was saved by Christ. Anyhow. But they'll preach that they were all saved at different times, and they'll say it in kind of strange ways. But then when you explain to them or say to them that Jesus Christ was and is the only salvation ever, they'll say amen. Even though they just got through saying they, people were saved in different ways in different times. When you explain that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord before he was called a just man, when you explain that Job knew that his Redeemer liveth, and he was going to see him with his own eyes even though he died. Adam and Eve were covered by skins. Abraham found a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. All these things show pictures and they're prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only offering for sin was offered once. And God has accepted it. And God never changes. His ways never change. God states that salvation is of the Lord. Man will state that his salvation is of God and man. And sometimes they will come out and blatantly say that. God's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. I've heard that on the radio. God states that man cannot and will not come to him. And man states that he has a free will. And he'll come to God when he wants to. You can come to God, you just don't want to. God states that Jesus Christ came once and saved his people from their sins by one offering for sin once. And man states that Jesus Christ came and made a sacrifice which made salvation possible for everyone. And you won't find that anywhere in the scriptures. Nowhere. God's ways are good. Man's ways are bad. I like what he says in verse 9. But he says, because he starts off saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And then he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. This is not, you know, it's not a statement of just being different.
Right.
God's thoughts are better. God's ways are better. And I also like the order here. Because first comes thoughts is mentioned. Then he mentions ways. Now for God, the thought and the way are one thing.
Amen.
But this is written here. He's speaking to us. And for us, we need to consider it as two separate things, because our thoughts don't make anything happen.
Right.
Okay? I mean, God, he goes on and says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's thoughts are action.
Right.
Mm-hmm. God thinks that it's going to happen.
Amen.
Come hell or high water.
Yeah.
As the expression goes. It's going to happen. But he separates it here for us, because man's thoughts determine man's actions. We're a cause and effect type of person. Actions come from thoughts, or sometimes they come from not thinking. Out of a man's thoughts comes all manner of sins. It says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Man's ways are determined by man's thoughts. Because sin is within the man. It's a nature.
Yeah.
It is intrinsic. And that determines a man's ways without God. The ways of a man show your thoughts, show your mind, show your heart. I was concerned with foolish things. And that's what I did. Foolish things. A lot of them. But something changed. I didn't lose my sinful nature, but I gained something else in life given to me. And that changed what I thought. And what I thought changed where I went. And what I thought changed what I did and what I do and where I am. Now still there's a war in the members, but I don't always lose now.
Right. Right.
I thank God, you know. But sin is still within.
Sure.
The thoughts of a man move the ways of a man away from the thoughts and the ways of God. Because sin is within the man. Now, within God is holiness. Within God is righteousness. Within God is justice. Sins come out of man, but holiness comes out of God. And here's what it comes down to. At the end, as a summation, God is right and man is wrong. If you got a problem with that, you got a problem with this book.
Amen.
And you're going to have to take it up with somebody else, because I'm not going to change my mind about him. Because he's changed my mind about him. And it doesn't matter how many goofy arguments I get into at work, which I'm really going to try to avoid in the future. God's ways are better and higher and more. God's ways are perfect.
Yeah.
Mine are not. Man's is not. It's His way that matters. Our Heavenly Father.